All right, so you're just getting started and you're thinking to yourself, man, I'm just going to use Google Suite to manage my cash practice as I get going. Look, I did the same thing. And here's what I can tell you. When I finally had to switch over, it was a huge pain in my butt to try to move all the notes and all of the documentation that I had over to another platform so I could stay compliant. Do yourself a favor, start with a platform that you can scale with that makes you look more credible. When you're trying to book people on Google calendars, come on guys, that's not what a real business does. A real business has something that actually helps support it on the back end and it is branded to you. It looks like your company. Check out PT Everywhere if you're just getting started. They're doing something really cool for cash practices and I really love this with one of the features that they're doing. If you're new, they actually will charge you less as you're getting started and as you grow your membership, your actual dues each month for the platform, it goes up with your practice growing. So you can actually save money up front if you're just getting started, but yet have a platform that you can grow into. I think it's amazing. It's the only company I know of that's doing that. And go figure, it's owned by a cash practice owner, which we love as well. So guys, head over to PTEverywhere.com. Check out what they're doing. If you're just getting started, I highly recommend you check them out. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's up, guys? Danny Matei here with Eve GG, live in the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. If you're listening to this on the podcast and you're not in the Facebook group, do yourself a favor, go to Facebook, request to join. We do vet everybody. So if it's like a couple of days before you hear back, it's because we're looking you up and we're making sure you're a real human being and somebody that's not going to be a pain in the butt in our group and is actually going to add some value to it. But join another 4,000 people within the community that are helping each other out. And, and we get a chance to do these live and interact with you Mondays at 1:30. Even I get a chance to catch up. We actually just saw each other recently at our Mastermind Live events, which is the topic of today, which is going to be the lessons we learned from our 3 days in Charleston. And it seems like, I don't know about you, but I'm still mentally recovering I'm basically until yesterday. I don't know. Like how long did it take for you to recover from that?
I'm still recovering. Like I kind of didn't stop. We had like some friends over Friday and then I had to be, I talked at the SCAPTA conference about innovative practice models.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then Sunday we did some quarterly planning cause we didn't get a chance to, right? Cause my team was at the event. And then I'm right back at it Monday. So I still got to decompress, and you're right, man. After those things, it's so mentally and emotionally taxing in such a positive way, but it's definitely taxing. Like no talk Thursday. I wish I could have implemented that rule, but I could not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because, you know, so for us to give some context, normally we do 2 days where we basically have everybody together. The size of our group has grown considerably since when we first started and we had, 5-6 people and now we have close to 100. Not all of them came either because, everybody has their own risk tolerance with travel right now. And we want to keep the group smaller under 40 people each day. So we broke it up into 2 different groups. So we had smaller businesses. I think the threshold was like, if they were under 180, maybe something 1,000, they were on day one. If they were over that, they were on day 3. And then we had Kelly Storette as our guest presenter that was taking the second day and he was able to present to both groups. So that's how we broke it up. And it was cool. I actually really liked the format better, to be honest with you, just because it gave us more one-on-one time with people. It was a less intimidating environment. You walk into a room full of 100 people, in particular, if you're kind of a smaller business in that scenario, it can feel a little bit intimidating to be around people that are well ahead of you in business. But, and then we did our 5K. So we have the same workout. It's a tradition that we do every time we get together. We did it twice, on Monday and Wednesday morning, which was that was tough. But it's just a lot of talking. It's a lot of engaging with people, a lot of active listening. It is exhausting in such a great way. You're just you got nothing left. And that's what you need to do every time that you get together. It's so important to leave everything on the table, I guess, you know, in terms of, you know, communicating with people and helping people and connecting other people. But I thought, you know, for the circumstances, I was really proud of how safe it felt, how safe everybody else felt, you know, how many we got, 75% of our community was there. So, you know, overall it was great. And we had awesome weather. We really lucked out with that as well.
Yeah. I mean, the energy level is so high, right? And you just have to go and match that energy level. And if I ever tried to like ramp things down, somebody else would come in hot and I'd have to raise my energy level again, in such a positive way. I mean, that's the coolest thing we all had. It was a palpable energy with Kelly there as well. Like he just compounded that to find somebody like-minded like him, who's just like, could relate to us. And he's, you know, we're attacking the same problems just in a different way, right? He decided to do it through becoming an influencer and do it in the virtual space. And we're doing it in our communities and grassroots, and having him recognize that, I thought was really cool. And yeah, I mean, it was an intense, but insanely rewarding 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we always get a lot of interest around this community whenever we do these live events, because people see what's going on. You know, it's a pretty unique environment. You know, so if you have a business and you're looking at this like, dang, how do I get involved in this? How do I learn more? We've had so much interest with that we're actually on Thursday, I'm going to do a web class on, you know, masterminds and how it can be a great way to improve your business and yourself personally. And everything that entails and how they're set up and what you can expect, you know, from that. We do have a couple open spots after this live event with people, you know, over their year ending, moving on to do other things. Occasionally we'll get those. We have a few coming up in April. So if you're interested, just type me in the chat and we'll get one of our team members to reach out to you with the link to that webinar. It's going to be, or that web class is going to be small. You know, it's really for people that are really interested in a community like that. But if you're listening to this and you're watching us and you got serious FOMO about not being able to hang out with Kelly Storrett and all of us in person for a couple of days, like it's a really cool community. Like we're obviously very biased, but if something like this had existed when I was coming out of the Army, I would have jumped at it because, you know, there's many business development groups out there. There's very few that are so damn specific. Like I can't really think of anything that's as specific as like movement-based clinicians that want to have a cash or hybrid practice. Like that is it's either for you or it's not, right? Like it's that direct and that niche specific. So if it's the right fit for you, it's like a game changer, because so many people are all doing the same thing and openly sharing best practices. I mean, we had an unplanned ACL discussion on subscription models, packages, and marketing and selling ACL clients that lasted for like hours that we did not even put together. Our community's that damn awesome that they literally were like, hey, we're all solving the same problem. And they had like 30 people show up for it and go over best practices of what's working. Like that's kind of like what we're talking about. It's almost like this unfair advantage with the community now. And culture, the culture is just insane. So if it's something that you're interested in learning more about, I'm doing a web class Thursday at 8 p.m. Just type me in the chat and then one of our team members will reach out to you and give you the link to get signed up for that. So today what we wanted to do is go over our lessons learned, which I sat down actually the following day. We all got together with PT Biz and had a team, basically team meeting where we all stayed at a beach house together and went over some things. But I woke up a little earlier that morning. I didn't get much sleep because we stayed up kind of late as well. No. Just catching up. It's just people we haven't seen in a while. We're so excited to be around each other. And I woke up early and I just wrote some stuff down that was, you know, just sort of bullet points of things. I was like, wow, I need to remember this, or this was really cool. So I'm going to kind of go over that today. And Eve and I can kind of bounce, you know, our ideas off each other based on what we learned. So the first thing, and I wanted to highlight this because this was something that Kelly said, and he said, life's about doing dope shit with dope people. And ironically, I got an email, Kyle sent it to me. I think he responded back. He was like, what does dope shit mean? Such a question. And it's based off of, it's actually a Snoop Dogg quote that he referenced about, you know, recording music. He's like, man, I just want to do dope shit with dope people. And basically, I want to do cool stuff with cool people is what he's saying, right? To interpret that for you know, whoever doesn't understand that. And, you know, he referenced that and he was like, this is exactly what's happening right now. Right. So, you know, we had whatever 40 and 35 people, you know, broken up in these different groups. And Kelly presented on Tuesday to both of these groups. And it was the same presentation, but it was actually vastly different information for what he actually talked about. But that was one thing that he said in both of them. And I think for everybody, they looked around and were like, this is exactly what's going on, right? They're all like movement-based clinicians. They want to work with people the right way. They want to make habitual long-term changes with people. They want to talk to them about sleep. They want to talk to them about nutrition. They want to talk to them about stress management, moving more, you know, how to live a more meaningful, healthy life with our clients. And we can't do it in the constructs of traditional medicine, traditional healthcare, where we're forced to see so many people. And we don't really have even an opportunity to develop these long-term relationships that we need to with the people we can really, really help. So we've all sort of just decided to go take the hard path, you know, go about it this way and learn how to build a business that allows us to work with more people in this manner. And that's really what it's all about, right? It's like, we've been forced to do this. We have to understand the business side in order to be able to help as many people as humanly possible. And the net effect of that is just massive in terms of them helping their family members and, you know, scaling past yourself and having other people involved. So I think that was like, if I could summarize this event in one sentence, it would be to do dope shit with dope people. And that's exactly what we did. And it's relationships are so easy. Conversations are so easy. Like, it's like instantly your best friend sitting next to you, grabbing a beer, and you've never even met this person, but you have so much in common. It's so hard to, you know, describe that if you've never experienced it. You know, so I don't know, what do you have on that bullet point?
Yeah, I think there is absolute, and you know me, I'm a systems guy. There's beauty and simplicity. Right. And so it's like, you know, what do you want to do with your life? Right. Like, all I want to do is dope shit with dope people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's super clear and easy. And I think a lot of times for people to wrap their head around, right? Like, because we can get stuck in the minutiae and the tactics, and we can do this. I'm going to change healthcare and I'm going to help this. And so it's like, all I want to do is just like, you know, hang out with really cool people. Right. And I want to align with them and what our mission, vision, values are. And that's kind of what happened across the board, right? So I do all the mastermind onboard calls. And without even talking to them, I know their story, right? Like, I know, oh, you went and tried to do outpatient orthopedics. You freaking hated it. You know, you do a lot of strength conditioning on your own. You weren't able to implement that in that practice. So you decided there was no other way. You had to do this, that you went and did it on your own. Right? Like, it's 90% of our people. It's that exact same story. And if you remember this, it really got highlighted because I did a presentation on Profit First and how that can help your business. But what I asked people is like, why did you start your business in general? Yeah. Right. And it was just like, I asked about four or five people. Everyone had basically the same answer in a different way. And everyone kind of just nods their head. Like, yeah, like I, just like you said, I want to help people, right? I want to do movement-based. I want to change the way physical therapy is viewed. Like, we all kind of nodded our heads, and it was just cool to see that kind of group, you know, movement, which, right? Like, we've, in a way, we've started a movement, which is really cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, along the same line, you know, with when Kelly kind of brought this up, you know, I think it was also really cool to be able to take, to take Kelly and bring him to a environment where, you know, people are so like appreciative of, you know, what he did. And his story is really interesting, right? When you really break it down, you know, him starting a CrossFit gym in his backyard while he was in PT school with two young kids, and then basically just asking this sporting goods store in San Francisco if he could use a parking lot and welding his own racks and getting all his friends and family there for his first class, like, and then teaching all around the world when he started teaching these movement and mobility seminars and sleeping at his, you know, facility in a Connex box and waking up at 6 o'clock and teaching classes. And like, I think what's really cool is to have people in the area, you know, in an area together that have learned so much from somebody that then he gets to share, you know, his story. And many of them are along that same path of where he's at, just hustling, figuring it out, making it work for them, you know, trying to create a life that's meaningful, but also supports what they want to do with their friends and family outside of it. And I think that's a rare thing. I think most people are scared to do that. I think most people, you know, are fearful of going against the grain, of doing their own thing, of failing, of what that looks like to their friends and family. I think that probably scares more people off than the monetary side of it. Just like looking like a failure and leaving a position that, in my intents and purposes, may have looked like a great career because you know you had to do something, right? And imagine that conversation he had with his parents and in-laws and friends. It's like, yeah, I'm going to start this gym. Then no one, there were like the 15th or 20th CrossFit gym. Like I'm going to, it's not like it was like a proven thing. It's like, I'm going to start this thing in this parking lot behind this place I used to be the manager. And like, I can imagine he got some weird looks, right? But if he hadn't done that and he hadn't started putting content out and he hadn't started like sharing his thoughts, no one would have known who he was and he wouldn't have impacted our profession in any way. And he gets a lot of hate from our profession too, in a lot of ways, like the old guard sort of the PT community. They see this guy who's got tattoos and he's squatting and pulling heavy weight. And he's talking about these things that aren't necessarily traditional PT school. And I think he gets a lot of, negative feedback as well. And it's just really cool to have him in an environment in a room where it's like, dude, you're the man. Thank you so much. And I don't think he gets that a whole lot. You know, I think he gets a lot of the opposite, especially this past year being just on social media. It's very easy for people to be, negative when they're behind a screen very far away from you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think so many people, he's probably used to either A, like trying to solve movement and mobility issues in a room and just getting peppered with questions, right? Or he's defending himself as to why he thinks what he thinks, right? Because not only the old guard, but like the new guard are coming through now and saying like, oh no, this is the way we should do things, right? What I thought was really cool, and I don't know if this is true or not, maybe somebody can like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like he was the first person to use the word mobility, right? Like we use this verbiage and we had this idea of performance-based care. And I think he might've been the first person. He opened that window for everybody, right? It's like, oh man, like let's start looking at the squat. Let's look at different positions and opening that door for physical therapists. I don't think anybody was doing that before. Like we were just rehab post-op specialists. And all of a sudden now we've got this thing, you know, and we're creating even more buzz about it, right? Where I want to get to the point, as you said, like, it's a scary thing to go do this. At some point, I want it to be a normal thing, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to go open up a private practice. Oh, I'm going to go open a cash practice. Like, it's just a thing. Everybody's like, you know, it's still scary to be a business owner, but it's like not this new thing anymore, right? That's going to be our goal eventually. So it was cool to kind of see someone, you know, man, like, yeah, he started the word mobility. Like who created that word? Like, if you think about it, mobility doesn't mean range of motion. Mobility means like, can I get from point A to point B without using a walker? And like, that's traditionally what that word means.
Well, traditionally it meant, you know, it was like a mobility bus that was moving people around that were handicapped. I see them around Atlanta all the time and I kind of laugh every time I see it, you know, cause I'm like, oh, mobility, like it's, you know, it definitely did not mean that. You know, and I think there's people that led the way too, that were, you know, obviously really smart, like Greg Cook and Shirley Sauerman, and talking about more movement-based systems approach to things, you know, and, you know, some of his background with Kaiser Permanente and look at some of the PNF things and like, a lot of that mixed with loaded training, movement patterns and stuff is what many of us that we do now, right? I mean, that's like, that's it. You know, I saw Jake this morning. I went to the office and he was working with somebody that was dealing with some, you know, some knee issues, some anterior knee issues. You know, he's got him doing like progressive overload through full flexion of the, you know, single leg load patterns. And it's like, I mean, he's not doing clamshells and sidesteps with everybody. Like, you know, whatever you learn, like we're loading people. We're doing higher level things to get them back to higher levels of function, you know? And I think that's like such a fun thing to do with people and empower them with understanding how to like take care of their body. Well, you know, we're coaching them and not just passively treating them. So, which really kind of segues well into, you know, this second bullet point that I wrote down, and it's, you know, the caliber of the people in the room is the most important element of any in-person event. And I've been to great like clinical events where people are like openly willing to share what's working, what's not working. This actually, I think it's more rare in the clinical space than it is in the business space, because in the business world, it's actually really easy. The scoreboard is very simple. It's really, you know, I mean, there's more things to track, but revenue and size of your company, things you've been able to accomplish on the business front, gives us a lot of credibility of whether you've actually done something or not, right? This is an easy way for me to, it's a litmus test. Because if I see somebody and they're trying to talk to people about scaling past themselves and their business and they've never actually done it, it would be like somebody trying to tell somebody how to squat a world record, and they've never squatted at all, right? Like it's kind of, it doesn't really match up with what you should be teaching. And not to say that you have to be the greatest athlete in the world, but you got to at least train to be able to like talk to people about training, you know, variants and things of that nature. So for me, what I love about the community that we've kind of brought together is that like everybody checks their ego at the door. You know, they're all there to openly share what's working and have an abundance mindset. Even people that are in the same city, right? Like, I think that can be kind of hard for people. So-and-so is down the road from you, whatever. But, you know, if they're all doing the right things for people, they're openly willing to share what's working, what's not working. And they all have a common goal, you know, and there's so many people out there we can help. Like, you know, you really have to look at it that way. But I feel like the caliber of people in the room, and we're very protective of this. Like, I think that's one thing, our culture, we're so protective of it. We turn more people down than we let in, which is not maybe the best business model, but it's the right thing to do. And it's the way that we've created such a cool environment is by being very selective of not letting, there's no assholes allowed. Like that's just, if you're a jerk, like you can't hang with us. Like you'll get rooted out by everybody else or you'll change, which ideally that's the case. So, you know, I'm very impressed with that. And I love the fact that we can get people like Kelly there, people like Shante Cofield there, you know, people that are like influential in the community, and they're all coming together to share and learn with each other too, which is really kind of rare.
Yeah. I mean, right. There's all this talk around company culture and how that can elevate and increase performance, right? And I said, that's literally what's happening, right? We're creating a culture. And if you have a culture that is protected and a culture that's based off of challenging each other in a positive way, right? Like in creating competition, but in a positive way, everybody gets elevated in the room, right? And it becomes almost effortless, right? Like we can help people with tactics. We've been there before, right? And but at the same time, and I said this in the anticipation post, like our coaching and mentorship is great. And I definitely think everybody should do it. But like the real reason the mastermind does so well, and I truly think we get the results that we get, is because of the other people in the room. It's because of everybody else and them just sharing and making connection, breaking false beliefs, right? And supporting each other because, and you say this all the time, entrepreneurship is hard. It's lonely. It's difficult. And the more help you can get, the better. And if you're surrounded by 100 people who are exactly like you going through the exact same thing, maybe at different stages, but also probably a group of like, you know, legitimately, we have everybody, people in every stage. There's probably 20 people in your exact situation, just getting started, getting to the point where you're busy and time poor, getting to the point where you're hiring your first therapist, or getting to the point where you're trying to pull yourself out of your business, you know, because you've got multiple therapists and you need to do more high level stuff. Like we've got people at each and every stage, and that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super unique. And, you know, I mean, I think that the sidebar conversations, you know, that people have, it's always funny, you know, to kind of catch up with people. And, you know, there was one guy, his business partner actually signed them up for the mastermind and didn't really talk to him about it. And he was like, dude, what's this? Like this, what's this cost you sign us up for the next year? And when I sat down and I was chatting with him at the event, he was like, and his business partner wasn't even there. That's the funny thing. Like his business owner couldn't make it. And he was like, this is awesome. He's like, I'm so glad he did this. And he was really apprehensive about it at first, but, that's just because it's the right people, right? It's the right people that are there. We get all this feedback afterward too. And I know you get a lot of messages just like I do. And I mean, I probably have 20 to 30 messages as people that are just like, you know, they're so excited. They get back. They're just like, their business explodes for, you know, this week that they're back. They're all just like, oh my God, I got all these new patients. And oh my gosh, I've been selling like crazy and people are committing to plans of care. And you know, the thing is, I used to wonder like, why is that? You know, I was like, you know, what causes that? And I think I've pinned it down in terms of what causes people to have these fast, you know, growth periods after these live events. Cause we see it every time. Like people just accelerate quickly. And I think it comes from excitement and conviction of what they're doing is the right thing and that they can do more. Because, you know, if you're at, let's say, $200,000 a year and you're sitting next to somebody that's at 800 to a million, whatever, you know, and that person is just like you, you know, they got the same degree, they similar size town. They just are a few steps further. It's like really exciting to kind of see what that looks like and put yourself there, at least in your mind. And when they come home, like they're just so jacked up. They're like, just so excited. And excitement and conviction will sell better than any script or any, you know, whatever framework you want to use. Like literally, if you're just super excited about something, people, they want to know why. They want to know more. It's rare to have somebody that has true conviction. They're super excited and they know they're doing the right thing for the right purposes. And it's just, you know, infectious. People want to be around that. So I think that's a huge part of it as well.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like as you're talking about that, right? You've used Chick-fil-A a few times, right? Like, you know, a Chick-fil-A in a mall. But I also think it's a good segue to that. You go to kind of McDonald's, you go to the other fast food restaurants. Those people don't look like they're having a good time, no. Right? They're not excited. You go to Chick-fil-A, they're like super happy to see you. They like, they look like they're having a lot of fun at work. And like, of course they've got good food, but I think that's a big part of why people are kind of hanging around, right? Like the energy level is up. And, you know, when you look at being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, being a clinician, right, you know, and this is literally why I moved from insurance to cash, is because in my insurance-based practice, energy level low, people just having a really, really tough time. And no matter what I did, no matter how much leadership I had, no matter how much I, you know, tried to increase morale, it just didn't work because, you know, maybe we can call it what Kelly said, like it was like a type one error, right? Like it just, there's nothing I could do to fix that. What I need to do is completely change the model of how this thing was done. And now when I get together with my staff or are willing to get together with me, actually their idea to get together on a Sunday, right? And like stay extra and put in the work and do community workshops. And like, it's just the energy level is through the roof. It becomes almost effortless. You realize that your well of energy is so deep, or before it's like you could barely get out of bed in the morning sometimes, right? And like, that's the coolest thing to see people shift. That shift is so cool to see.
Yeah. And you're living off of stimulants like caffeine versus you're living off of the energy you get from the mission that you have. And I think that's such a important paradigm shift for a lot of these people when they start to realize like, we have to learn how to be better at business so that we can support the business model that allows us to work with people the way they deserve and the way our skill set deserves. It's that simple. I didn't get into starting to like learn about business because I was just purely interested in increased revenue. I started getting into it because I didn't know how to scale past myself and I was busy. And I was busy because, not because I was the best clinician, I was busy because I gave a fuck about people, which is very rare. And you're educating them, you're teaching them these things that no one else ever took the time to do, or asking them questions that no one ever asked them. And all of a sudden they're just like, whoa, this is different. And without any marketing, they start sending more of their friends and family to see you because you're just so damn different. They can't shut up about you. You know, you're worthy of the referral. I get this a lot when people are just like, how to get more referrals. First step is be better at what you do. Like go the extra mile, like go do things that people just don't think, you know, you can't automate, right? Like be better at what you do, care more about people. That's going to create a huge change in your business right away. Right. But then you hit this point where, how do you grow past yourself? If you really want to help more people, if you really want the net effect of helping these thousands and, you know, tens of thousands of people in your community, how do you do that? Well, you can't do it by yourself. As well as I always looked at it, like I can like break a staff clinician out of like traditional, you know, PT jail and give them an opportunity to work with people and have a meaningful, you know, use of their skills, as well as replace their income and hopefully more by also enjoying their career path, you know, more. And in order to do that, you have to understand how to systemize things, how to hire, how to be a leader, how to scale. It forces you into those things. And, you know, if we really want to help as many people as possible, we have to grow past ourselves. And that's just the reality. If the business side doesn't support the clinician, then the mission goes away. And, you know, so out of necessity, we learn these things. And I think for a lot of the people that we work with, Now, the third big piece of this is one of the things that I think scares people off more than anything is the fact that student debt is still a very real problem and continues to be a very real problem. And we talked a lot of finance at this event, and it's always shocking to me to hear some of these big numbers, you know, $300,000 in debt, $500,000 between, you know, like a married couple. Like, I mean, dude, if you're at $50,000 to $100,000, your school was on sale, you know, in comparison to some of these other people that are making these decisions at a young age, taking on this debt for cost of living and their loans for tuition and everything else. And it's crazy how it snowballs and can go the wrong way. So, you know, I think that it becomes a massive problem. And for a lot of them, they almost have to have a very successful business in order to get out from underneath the massive amount of debt, you know, that they do have. And I think it's a huge problem, and it's something that we were able to address and, you know, give people frameworks of what to work on. But the reality is, you know, for a lot of you, if you're sitting at that level, you're talking, you know, multiple six figures in student loans. I don't see any other way for you to get out from underneath that, but to have a successful business and make more money than you can working for somebody else and put that towards your loans.
Yeah, no, it's we've had quite a few people in the group, right? Like, we talked about profit first, and we talked about increase in profitability of your business, right? And we can see how profitable this model can be, and it can allow other people to create this financial freedom for themselves, as well as time freedom, you know, for them and their families, as well as be able to treat in a way that they want to treat patients, right? And so they can align those three things. It's really cool to have a clinician who's got an amazing skill set. You know, they come out of PT school, yeah, with a lot of debt, but a lot of passion. And then typically what do? We eat her young and we just crush them in a mill clinic, right? Now we've got this other option, right? And it's still a hard option, but right, would you rather go crush yourself? It's just as hard, right, to see 20 people a day, or you can see 25 to, you know, 30 people a week, right? But spend a lot of time working on your business and creating a brand new performance-based cash model, and come join us in this world and pay off your student debt, right? And hopefully at some point, like you said, get to the point, which so many of us are doing, where we actually are hiring other clinicians, right? So, like, I'm really proud of this. I'm actually gonna be talking to the PT school here locally tomorrow. And from that talk alone, I've probably started anywhere from 5 to 6 cash practices, right? Like, you know, I've had 2 students come through my program, and one's now in the mastermind. One is working for Active Life. 2 are, or 3 of them are PTs in my current cash practice, right? So, like, you know, just bringing awareness to this stuff, right? And just realizing how tangible this is for the right people. You know, we just got to get that word out and got to keep doing it.
That's good recruiting right there. You just feeding made to move. I like that with the right people, because there's always weirdos in these classes that are like in the corner squatting, you know, or they're standing in the back, or they're like mobilizing their foot while they, you know, are listening to a lecture or something. And, you know, like that's our people, right? Not everybody, is. In fact, like, I go to most physical therapy conferences and I feel a bit out of place. I just don't really feel like I fit in with the community as a whole. I feel actually a lot more comfortable in the strength and conditioning world. You know, if I go to like, CSCS seminar of some sort, or NSCA or whatever, I feel more kind of at home there than I do in the traditional clinical world, which is kind of weird, but that's just like what we bias towards in terms of our, you know, our approach. And this is, you're just like teeing me up for these segues, cause this is perfect. Cause that brings me to my next point, which is the performance-based clinician is starting to become, you know, more and more sought after and recognized. And, you know, when we sit down and talk to these different individuals or chat with people just sort of like, you know, like by the fire in Charleston, whatever, just kind of informally hanging out after these structured events or over breaks. It's so interesting to hear how their businesses are evolving and how many of them are having a lot of success now with people that are really looking for this alternative option. You know, we see this happening in traditional healthcare with like functional medicine, you know, where people are looking to do more proactive blood panels, gut health analysis. You know, they don't want traditional medicine. Maybe they're looking for better, more food-based alternatives or supplement-based alternatives. And they're looking for ways to be proactive about their health and invest in their body, you know, and look at it as an investment, which we really strongly believe in. And, you know, for our people, I think they're in such a perfect position. And if you're a performance-based clinician, and I kind of lump that into, you know, you're a PT, OT, chiropractor, massage therapist, athletic trainer, sports psychology, whatever, like, you know, you are, you know, a medical doctor that's practicing, you know, more of a proactive approach. Like, that's it. That's like the direction that it's turning. And people are looking for that now versus, like, we had to work so hard to educate people on why they would want to work with somebody like us outside of their insurance. And the conversations are so much easier, right? Like, it goes from 7 years ago, it was, do you take my insurance? And now the conversation is, you probably don't take my insurance, do you? Right? Because they know the type of work that we do, we just can't get it. I mean, you can't match it up with high volume the right way, you know, but they're looking at it as an investment and looking at it the right way. So these people it's easier now. It's not that it's easy by any means, but it's way easier than the conversation was 5, 10, 15 years ago, because it's starting to become a sought after subtype that certain parts of the community, active populations, there's no other choice for them. Like, they are not going to go traditional hospital clinic. No way. They'll get out of there in a heartbeat. Like, they would know they're in the wrong place and they just would never go back. So it's becoming easier and easier for this type of a niche to actually have success.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it in all areas of healthcare, right? So just like you said, functional medicine, integrative medicine, you can look up SteadyMD, right? Like, what they're trying to do, right? So it's this idea of performance-based care, right? So people are realizing, we're not doing a great job of tackling the problem of musculoskeletal issues, right? And obesity and diabetes, right? And so you can be reactive. That's an option, not the best option. But now the idea of you can be proactive, right? And so, like, preventative medicine, right? Like, that was never really a thing. And it's still kind of not a thing, but the idea of, like, wellness, right? And these things, it's everywhere now, right? It's becoming kind of a buzzword. And I absolutely love that, right? Like, we fall in line with that. Like you said, can you, you know, de-stress? Can you get more sunlight? Can you sleep more? Can you have better nutrition? Like, can you move and load and create longevity that way, right? So, like, we're having these conversations now that we weren't having before, right? We weren't having those conversations before. And now it's becoming more and more absolutely apparent. And I love it, right? I was talking to my PTs this week, and I love the idea of us becoming primary care physical therapists, right? Like, primary care physicians used to be part of a community. You know, they'd come to your house, they would help you, you know, just with general problems. And that's kind of, like, not happening anymore, right? PCPs basically are just triaging you out to whatever specialty. And so we're kind of, in a way, filling that void, right? It's like, man, I just feel like crap. What do I do, right? Like, taking a pill and, like, having a surgery could be an option, but, like, most people want to be like, well, how do I attack this problem? Well, let's systematically look at it. And, like, PTs are absolutely filling that void. And this idea of performance-based care and helping people just live a better quality of life, I think, is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's space for that, right? Like, most people don't want to do that. They just look at it like, oh, that's time intensive, whatever, you know, it might be. But when you look at the relationships that we develop with people, you know, I had somebody just, message me the other day, you know, not all my patients don't necessarily text message me, but some of them do. Some of them that I've had for years, for sure. Like, you know, that's how it started. I was like, bro, just shoot me a text. You have a question. You know, and a lot of them, email might be the way they go about it. It's direct message me on Instagram, like, people that I've worked with, but what they're looking for is guidance from somebody that has vetted options, right? Like, I had one of my old clients reach out to me when we were in Charleston. He was like, hey, who's a good functional medicine person that you recommend in the city, right? And I pointed him to, like, two or three people that I thought would be a good fit. Or, hey, what do you think about, like, this supplement? Or, hey, what do you think about, you know, this training methodology? And, like, they just view you as, you know, the gatekeeper of credible information and credible people. And that's a really good place to be because there's a trust factor there that you get a chance to, like, you get what, 50% of the credit for a bad referral and 100% of the, or 100% of the blame for a bad referral and 50% of the credit for a good one. I think Gray Cook said that. And, you know, so we're very conscious of that. And we're very specific about who we partner with and who we recommend. And, but like, that's also a great place to be because you are filling that void of a relationship with somebody. Like, there's not a lot of physicians, you know, that you're going to be able to reach out to that are going to text you back, that are going to email you back, where it's going directly to them. And many of them are just like time poor. They're very overworked, you know, and for us, those relationships are frankly some of the best parts, right? Like, I've gotten to do cool shit, like with my patients, with my clients, with, like, we sat down and talked to Kelly about, he's like, I should write a book on the cool shit I've been able to do with the cool people that I've had a chance to work with. And I think about it too. I'm like, man, I've got to do some cool stuff with some cool people. And it's because, you know, they value that relationship and it's like reciprocity, right? Like, they're paying us for this, but it's like so much more valuable than what we even charge them that they want to go out of their way to help us out. They want to go out of their way to, you know, be a part of our life. You know, and that's great because I really enjoy being around those people as well. So I think that's like the most undervalued, but yet significant part of the whole business model is the people that we get a chance to work with, meet, connect with. And even Kelly brought this up with, like, you know, he started a popsicle company recently with like one of his old clients that, you know, reached out to him like, hey, what do you think about healthy popsicles? What do you, you know? And he's like, yeah, for sure. I think that we could use these, you know, sweeteners or whatever like this. And that all just came from a connection from somebody that he'd worked with to help with their like knee pain, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we have the opportunity to educate people. Cause let's be honest, right? There's a lot of health information out there and it's tough to sift through. Right. Nice. So you can, I love that idea of us being kind of a, let's say a gatekeeper, right. But kind of can point them in the right direction as to like, oh, maybe you should look at this or like, you know, here she go. Because the bottom line is us as physical therapists, right? Like, we can, you know, heal somebody's shoulder. We can help them solve a problem. But if their run, their engine's constantly running hot, like, how good of an outcome are they actually going to get, right? Like, oh man, your rotator cuff feels better, but I sleep like crap. You know, I'm stressed out consistently. I eat McDonald's 3 times a day. Like, you think that person's going to get a good outcome? Like, long-term, probably not, right? And so like, I just love the idea of attacking these issues because when, even if you just look at musculoskeletal stuff, like, I think a lot of it honestly comes from just not taking care of your, you know, internal body, right? Like, there's something said for that, dude.
If your sleep is awful, let's just take one variable, right? And this is where we get to have these conversations. I learned zero about sleep in PT school. I learned zero about sleep going through lots of continuing education afterward. Like, I didn't actually start learning about sleep until I was sleep depriving myself and wondered why I was like tired all the time and cranky, and my training was suffering, and I was going the complete opposite direction when we started our business, right? And that's exactly what was happening. I was sleeping very little, very stressed out, 2 young kids, traveling a ton, starting a business, just like completely in, you know, fear mode all the time about whether I was going to make it, you know, make it work. But for a lot of people, they live in a state like that without starting a business frequently as well. They just take poor care of themselves. They, you know, they medicate with alcohol at night to tire themselves out, even though that actually screws your sleep up even more. And, you know, when we start having these conversations, and one of the very first things that we do with people when they come in is like, we want to know, like, what's your sleep like? And the vast majority of people sleep, their sleep is awful. And it just makes sense, right? It's like, listen, if you're not ready to heal, no, there's not much we're going to be able to do. And we'll waste your time if you're not willing to address some of these other things, which is literally our greatest opportunity to heal ourselves, occurs while we are asleep, you know. And then we can talk nutrition, all those other things, but like, the lowest hanging fruit, in my opinion, is sleep. And as soon as we start dialing that in and people start feeling better, they have more energy, they're able to be more compliant with the things that we ask them to do. Right. Like, if you're not having those conversations or you don't understand how to do that, it's up to you to learn it, to be able to have that, you know, that conversation with somebody. I can't tell you how many people I've seen that are new patients. We don't touch anything. We literally talk about sleep and stress management and breathing for down regulation for an hour. an hour, and they're here for back pain, you know, but by the end, they're just like, oh my God, I have to do this. Right. And it's because it matters so much. And if they never come back and see me ever again, like, let's say that's the only visit they ever have, that's the most beneficial hour I could possibly give them, teaching them that, saying, we even have I did an hour long workshop on sleep optimization, things that we took from the special operations community that we apply with sleep optimization to the average person that we have recorded with a local business that we work with that we'll send to people that need like more, you know, information and help on the sleep side. You know, and it's up to us to have those conversations. Like, that's the best part about all of it, because that's a true long-term change that people are going to make. So I think it's great to be able to have the time to do that, you know, which is what everybody wants. But then, I mean, dude, like, it's a completely different relationship. It's not your shoulder anymore. We're treating the person. We're treating you to be more active, to be, to have more energy, to have more emotional control. Like, think about a cranky, sleep deprived kid that's eating sugar all the time. Like, they're not the nicest kid to be around. You know, like, they're really rough to be around. Human, like, adults are big kids. We're just a little bit better controlling ourselves, but like, we have to have these conversations. You know, and for us, the way we've been able to do that, we've not even able to do that, is with the business model that we've found at this point, which is, you know, this one-on-one approach to really be able to educate people.
Yeah. I mean, we hear it all the time. Treat the person. I feel like that's something that's like a buzzword out there, but how many people are actually doing it? Like, treat the person doesn't mean you get to look at their ankle and their shoulder and their back, right? No, it means, can you treat the person who's in front of you, right? Like, what are their goals? What do they have going on, right? And can you actually solve those problems and help them with their musculoskeletal issue as well, right? Because I still think our superpower, right? Like, we can have a clinical discussion all day, but the superpower is you can get somebody to come into your office, you can educate them just like the way you said, and you can empower them, right? Like, tell them it's okay to move and okay to keep doing. Like, you'll have a fan forever, right? And those are the people that we see that, you know, our best word of mouth referral sources have the best outcomes and like to hang around forever and have a huge quality of life. And if you want to talk net effect, what's a net effect of that? Right? Like, oh man, like, now all of a sudden, like, I'm sleeping more and I treat my kids better and they're actually more healthy. And then my grandpa, like, you know, and I don't think we can underestimate the power of that community, right? If we really want to change, I'm going to go on a rant. We want to change healthcare and the way people think about, like, you know, quality of life and actually improving it. You need to do it, I think, at a grassroots level. And every single one of our clinicians that we work with, and like us, we're just nerding out about this. We're just be talking about the event and just talked about sleep for 30 minutes, right? Like, they all love talking about this stuff, and they're making such a difference in their communities, right? Like, you know, they're getting to see, you know, 500, 1,000 people a year, and that's super powerful. And the net effect of that is huge. And if we can have 1,000 cash practices or 10,000 cash practices, what's the net effect of that? And that's what provides me with a ton of energy every day.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. it's just such an interesting effect. Like, you know, I think like Kelly's mission, I believe, is the same, right? To create generational family health is the way I've heard him kind of describe it, right? Like, it passes down generations. It's information that your family knows. Oh, you dinged your back up a little bit, try this first, right? Oh, having some difficulty sleeping, like, make sure these, whatever. This is how we should eat. This is how much water we should drink. Just basic stuff that, like, nobody really is, like, teaching their kids. And a lot of it needs to be shown via example, right? You can't just, like, give them a book and then you do something completely different. Like, cause they watch everything. And, you know, for us, it's just, we have the opportunity to get people in our ecosystem and do the same thing with them. So it's up to us to reach as many people as possible. You know, we have this goal of adding $1 billion in services, cash services, to the clinical world. And we got a long way to go, and we need a small army of people that are successful doing so. And it literally legitimately has nothing to do with $1 billion of additional services. What it has to do with is, if we hit that, there's a massive shift in terms of how people are being addressed with injuries, long-term, you know, health concerns that are very costly on us as a country, both in dollars as well as in lost time with people, lost meaningful time with people in particular. And, you know, that's how we have a chance to take a crack at it, right? So that's what drives us. That's what pushes us to continue to work hard. And, you know, to segue into my last point and then we'll wrap it up, is, you know, I think that you have to find find people to have conversations about things that really matter. Like that's one thing that I wrote down, was like, find the people that are going to have those conversations about things that really do matter. And in our case, we're talking about the health side of things. And, you know, this, what Kelly called it, diabesity, right? Like just this epidemic of diabetes, type 2 diabetes and obesity that is just like getting worse and worse and worse. And this is, I think the first time in recent history where we've actually seen the life expectancy go down in the US versus go up. I think it's like life expectancy of a male is like just over 78 now. And, you know, other countries are, continuing to go up into the low 80s. And we're trending the wrong direction. You know, we have a lot of really bad health things going on, but also like I had a really great conversation with, Courtney and Brandon sitting at dinner on Wednesday night, just honestly about, kids, like raising kids, you know, what we're doing that we think is beneficial as a father, what we could do better, like what things, we need to work on. And, you know, it was like, that's a really important conversation for this idea of, you know, a successful life, in our opinion. You know, like the people that, you know, we have direct, I guess, mentorship over on a day-to-day basis, it's our children. And those kind of conversations I think are very rare, right? So to find that those people where you can be comfortable and talk about those things that really matter, that's great. I think that's like, that's huge. And there's a lot of that that I heard happening. In fact, we had a couple PTs that had just had kids, they're like pumping in between, you know, breaks and stuff. And I totally remember when Ashley was working for a nonprofit and she was doing the same thing, or she was like pumping, driving home or something like that. It's just like such a challenging kind of thing to throw into your life. And they're talking about, you know, their kids and sleep and like books they're reading and stuff like that. And like, this is at a business conference, right? It's like, it's just like, but the right people are having the right conversations about the things that really matter, because they share common values. And I think that really, you know, to summarize it is, you know, the values that people have, the things that are important to them. I think it's very rare to find the right people that are doing the right things for other people, trying to do the right things for their family, and are constantly trying to grow personally. And that's like everybody that was in the room together for a couple of days, they're all on that path, which is not the easy path. The easy path is, you know, just do what everybody else is doing. Waste your time with things you can distract yourself with, avoid your children, avoid difficult things, avoid any sort of stress or discomfort. And, you know, just skate by versus trying to constantly improve and improve yourself, but the people around you as well. And that's hard to do.
You bring up such a good point. I've never thought about it that way, but you could probably get a good litmus test of kind of like how you're doing in your personal development by the conversations that you're having kind of every day, right? Like, what kind of conversations are you having? Are your conversations typically only about like football and like, you know, how much beer you're going to drink this weekend, right? Or your conversations about, yeah, generational family wealth or generational family health or how to solve problems in your community, right? So like, I think it's a good, like, you know, if you're listening to this, like maybe take a little inventory, right? Take an inventory of kind of what's going on in your life and what kind of conversations are you having, right? And if you want more, right, maybe you need to seek out a community that is doing more, or more people. I assume, because I'll be honest with you, it's hard to find, right? Like, we kind of found each other. We found Jared. We found this group of people, and it's taken me 10 plus years to find my people, right? Like, that's a long time to kind of be like, oh man, I have nobody else who's going to want to talk about, you know, sleep and nutrition. We were doing that in my insurance-based clinic. Like, it's just not happening. We're talking about how many units we can get out and like, you know, what kind of terrible surgeries people are doing instead of coming to see us, right? It wasn't the same conversation. And like, to that note, and it's what Kelly said, and I've never thought about this, we're not going to be able to change what's going on internally. We're not going to be able to make the insurance world better, like in the current healthcare system. The only way to break the model is to create a completely different new one. And that's kind of what we did by default. We didn't know we were doing it, but we're doing it. We're basically just like, nope, you can choose this route, but you can also choose this, is which is completely different, right? Like, it's just, you know, that kind of type one error. Like, we had to create something brand new to solve the problem. And we think it's an absolute elegant solution to the problem, right? Is it the only solution? Probably not. Is it the solution? definitely not. There's other things going on, but we think it's a great way to create, you know, massive change in yourself, in your business, and in the community around you, right? So I truly believe, and I'm formalizing this in my head, I'm creating more tools. You know, if you can focus on your personal growth, that net effect is going to create business growth, which is that net effect is going to create more business profit, which is going to create more personal profit, which is going to allow more personal growth. And that cycle is a cycle you want to get into. That's a cycle I think me, you, Jared, and the people are in, right? Like, we can create more opportunities for more people, and we're going to continue to grow ourselves, which is just going to be like, that's a positive cycle that I want to get behind. I want to see more people get into, right? They get frustrated and they get stuck, and I don't want that anymore. I want them to continue to move forward, because I know many of us want to and don't know how.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the group, it's interesting. It feels like group therapy oftentimes more than anything else. In kind of a funny way is what it kind of seems like it is, right? You hear other people that are dealing with similar things, and gives you some confidence, makes you feel a little better. You get to share some shit that's going on with your life or something that you're kind of getting frustrated with. But it all comes back to us personally, regardless, right? Like, this idea of self-work, this idea of extreme ownership is, you know, I think it's daunting for people, right? They're like, wait, so you're telling me I have to like constantly try to become a better person for the rest of my life? Like, that sounds exhausting. It's like, yeah, I mean, it is, but it's the only way. I mean, I don't know any other way to tell you, you know, like how to continue to improve these things that are important to you. You can't be passive and lazy about it. You can't outsource, you know, caring about other people. You can't outsource having difficult conversations with your kids. You can't outsource having difficult conversations with your, you know, employees and your team members of your business. You know, and the more that you do those things, the more that you work on improving those, the better you get, the better of a leader you become, you know, and the better of a person you become, honestly. And there's always room to improve. There's plenty of shit that I'm bad at, you know, and that I am working on, and will for a very long time, just because, you know, I don't think you ever actually get to the point where you can stop. You know, you just kind of get to different levels of things that you're working on that are important to you. And that can change based on the season that you're in. You know, some of you might just be like hammering your business. You're just like in, you know, flight or fight mode, or where you're basically like trying to see if it's going to work or not. And you're working like crazy and you're stressed. And, you know, I don't know if you can avoid that. I think that's just part of it to begin with. Hopefully you don't run into a wall and burn yourself down and ruin relationships in the process. But, you know, that's the season that you're in. And then, you know, for some of you, it's more about leading people, and that's a completely different season, right? And so, you know, for us, I think it's just a cool opportunity to get people together to work on wherever they're at with the people that are in similar stages or slightly ahead or behind them. And they take different roles, right? You're either a peer, you're a mentor, or you're being mentored by somebody else. And you can fall into all three of those in the same room, which is kind of crazy. So you really just have to understand where you stand with your emotional intelligence in a lot of ways, and, you know, check your ego at the door to be in one of those three positions. So, you know, if it sounds like something that's interesting to you, if it sounds like something you want to learn more about, like I said, Thursday, 8 p.m., I'm going to do a web class on our mastermind group, what it is, like what we do. If you're interested in getting involved, you can learn more about that there. You know, like I said, we have a few spots for April that we're going to have that are opening it up. So if you guys are interested, go ahead and type me in the chat, and we'll go ahead and we'll get somebody in our team to actually send you the sign-up link for that, so that you guys can check that out Thursday night. But Eve, anything else to end on?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like working out, right? Like, if you've never worked out before, it's difficult to imagine what it's like to work out every single day. But just like we talked about this personal development thing, like, we don't know any other path, me and you, right? Like, I can never go back, right? Like, Pandora's box has been opened. You know, it's just like working out. Like, if you're doing that consistently, you don't know a way that you're probably never going to stop working out, right? Like, there's seasons where you may work out a bit less, or you may fall off the train, but all in all, you're like, man, like, this is just who I am. This is part of who I am. Right. And so I think sometimes it's just about taking that leap and just saying, all right, I'm going to, you know, open the box, and I'm going to commit to it. And once you're on the other side, you're going to realize how great it is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's terrifyingly exciting. I think is maybe the best way to put it. And, you know, for those of you listening to this, you know, some of you might just be like, you're not even close to being ready for something like what we're talking about. For those of you that are listening to this and you're like, damn, like this is something that I think could really help. And for many people, I think it's a stage. I know for me, the stage that I was in before I started looking at any formal help and started getting involved in masterminds and business development groups, because mastermind can sound weird, right? It's like, what do you plot on how to take over the world or something? What do you guys do? It's not really that, you know, it's just, I think it's just a good term for a group of people that are working together to try to solve common problems. And for me, I had to like really be in a bad place before I got to the point where I was willing to ask for help. I think it's a bit of a flaw, honestly, you know, just like figure it out. I'll do it by myself. Like it's just this, I don't know. It's just deep rooted, like suffer by yourself. Like don't say anything, don't complain, just figure it out. Like that's just what you're supposed to do. That's the way I was raised. And at a certain point you just realize this is dumb and inefficient. If this is the thing that is supposed to provide time and financial freedom for myself and my family, and it's the most important thing for me to get right, why would I try to figure it all out on my own? Why would I not get resources and support and, you know, get help from people that have already done it? And as soon as I kind of was open to that and stepped into that world, like it's a absolute, obsession. Like I'm constantly seeking out people that I think are better than me at other things. And it's just like, dude, tell me the secrets, like give me the cheat codes. I don't want to try to figure it out the slow way. Just want to get there faster, you know, and, you know, make it align with what we're trying to do. So anyway, some of you might need to go through a little more pain before you realize you need some help. And that's totally fine too. I was like that very, very much. I hope that's not the case for you, but if it is, I understand, you know, I'm the same way. So anyway, guys, thanks so much for watching live, for listening to the podcast as well. And we will catch you next week, same time. Actually, no, I won't. I'm going to be in Moab. I'm going to be in Utah on my kids. Nice. Spring break. I'll be out there in the desert, doing some fun shit. We're going on a UTV tour, you know, the little like, the little fast go-kart looking deals. It's going to be my poor Ashley's going to be terrified. She doesn't like, giving up control. And I'm going to be whipping that thing around the desert.
Yeah. So I need some video of that for sure.
Yeah. It's going to be her and Maggie are going to be having a hard time with it. But, anyway, we will have a live stream next week, but it won't be me. So guys, we'll catch you next week. Hey, real quick before you go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and I would love it if you got involved in the conversation. So this is a one-way channel. I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to get you into the group that we have formed on Facebook. Our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group has about 4,000 clinicians in there that are literally changing the face of our profession. I'd love for you to join the conversation, get connected with other clinicians all over the country. I do live trainings in there with Eve Gigi every single week, and we share resources that we don't share anywhere else outside that group. So if you're serious about being a PT entrepreneur, a clinical rainmaker, head to that group, get signed up, go to facebook.com/groups/PT entrepreneur, or go to Facebook and just search for PT entrepreneur. And we're going to be the only group that pops up under that name.